Well, my mom's family's originally from Penn Hills, and I had an aunt pass away a couple months ago, and before she did, I wrote this poem for her. And this is a poem for my aunt on her birthday. At 63, you look 80. Sound like Darth Vader if they sold menthol cigarettes on the Death Star. Swollen veins, a cough as big as a mushroom cloud. You were young once, before diabetes and mental illness, before time became just another broken heart in a shabby apartment next to a rundown bowling alley and a yearbook full of ghosts. You were young once, put up for adoption, mother hit by a car like a speeding bullet, father drugged and soon long gone. You were young once, engaged in cutting hair in neighborhood salons around Pittsburgh. Your sunset was an Italian song about love, give it up, and take it away. One sister married and the other off to college. You stayed home into middle age. Clock ticking in the hallway, watching your hair turn gray and become a spider web. But you were young once. God damn it, you were so young once.
Found out she has stage 4 breast cancer.
look at your life now, I think Nancy Spungen got off easy. Breast cancer at 45. You have to be a fighter to sleep in the streets with your broken heart just dangling there, like a locket made out of bones. I remember you at 30, beautiful, tough, and sad, talking about your family as we drove to 7-Eleven to get hot dogs on Christmas Eve. How it all came flooding back. Your father threatening to drive the whole family off a bridge into icy cold Arkansas river water on Christmas morning. Or the near rape by a family friend at 14. Or the countless bad relationships that became your anthem as much as Nick Cave or the Murder City Devils ever were. Your lungs filled up with silence as the night sky balled up into a fist and hurled your childhood into the past.
I think most of us can agree that we live in a fucked up country. You know, this is a poem about the country. It's about my grandma. My grandma was from Irwin. My grandfather knew what he was doing. This is called In 1954. It's a tiny poem. In 1954, my grandmother was beautiful. This country had white teeth and a red scare. We elected bravado and admitted nothing. We painted houses with the blood of immigrants and called it pride. Our dreams were real, and our scars were still fresh. I'll stick to that theme, and then I want to read a... Wait, so I live around St. Louis now, and we had some riots there, and I have a poem about that, but... I read this poem from my grandfather. It's called Braddock Serenade. And I come from a long line of Edgar Thomson works, New Workers. My father says he thinks that my grandfather had a bunch of mini heart attacks years before we knew his health went south, but just kept going like the Energizer Bunny, covered in factory dust and Pittsburgh moonlight. I just remember his smile, how it glowed, playing through the pain, feeding sadness into the mouth of bellowing smokestacks, boilers of generational poverty, the blood of the Roman dead covering his work boots, staining his dentures, taking away everything it could. This Seattle protest that came about, it was about the shooting a gentleman named Anthony Lamar Smith, and I wrote this poem for him, and it's just a poem for Anthony Lamar Smith. The hope chest that came over on slave ships didn't belong to Sally Hemings, but rich white girls who danced in mosh pits to John Brown's Body generations before Harper's Ferry. Tonight, Kansas is hanging its anthem on the prairie wind in Grateful Blood song. The spirit of St. Louis is protesting the dreams of worried lovers. No justice, no peace. Hours break like bones and fly away on tattered wings. This river of consequence will never get the chance to teach its children how to swim. Called Things I Know to Be True. was a multitasker. Could teach both love and hate to the bisexual heartbeat of the world. Matthew Shepard wasn't a scarecrow. Bob Dylan told me I was an underground man. I am not Elvis Presley or the Lizard King teaching you a pop song about death. Blue Hawaii in the moonlight and the afterlife of a moonlight drive. Hitler liked killing Jews with everything but kindness and taking long walks on the beaches of Normandy. Like Don Quixote, I once bought a bottle of whiskey for the honor of women. Once referred to Jimmy Hoffa as Mr. Star-Studded Bones. Once built towering infernos of love out of the last matchstick in Napoleon's coat pocket. While dreaming about the Morton Salt Girl. Singing in the Purple Rain with Gene Kelly and the artist formerly known as Brendan Behan. Yelling to Gig Young. They shoot hippies, don't they? No shirt, no shoes, no bombs. No shirt, no shoes, no bones. The dead hold vigils on Bourbon Street. The last embers of Rome slip through my fingers while writing you a love letter on the lid to Grant's tomb. It will be morning soon. My shadow waits for your song by the invisible rivers of empathy. Parts quietly along the highway at Wounded Knee.
Fucking awesome.
We were like 10 years old. And then, you know, he told us it was with his mom. And we didn't know what the fuck to think. But this is about that, and it's a poem called Masculinity, and it's about, like, the whole concept of masculinity in our culture, which is fucked up.
As kids, we never really understood the power of that phrase. Virginity, like a strong drink, still frozen on our tongues. A time-tested truth. When we were 10 years old, molestation seemed like some invisible baseball metaphor coined by the ghost of Steve McQueen. As I sit here now in a friend's kitchen, I wonder where it all went wrong. Chris and I used to talk about girls, heaven in flower pattern dresses, blowing in fields of dandelions, without the benefit of one sex ed class. Chris, who was named after Christofferson, whose parents met in the same strip club where we got our first beer back in middle school. His mother dancing to the moonlight for a few dollars and a little hope on a Sunday morning coming down from the night before. Chris's father wore an eye patch while building computers in the upstairs bedroom of his grandmother's house while masturbating the 70s porn on Beta that he let us borrow if we promised to be quiet. We used to have pool parties on our birthdays and look up at the stars in the sky for guidance. We used to wander through lunch lines, clutching our milk money, wiping the sweat off George Washington's empty promises, without ever once thinking about heavy things like self-worth. Chris, who was the first guy I knew to go all the way, it didn't make any difference that it was with his mom. Back then, a boner was a sacred thing. And Paul and I just asked him what it felt like to be a man. He said, sticky. And bragged about it for the next 2 or 3 years. While we dreamt about cheerleaders. And bookish girls with black-rimmed glasses. And just getting to second base in Paul's backyard. Nothing seemed wrong then. We were kids who dreamt about a lot of things. None of them sad. Things like fast cars and kissing with her eyes closed come prom night, whatever that was. It was in the distant future. Things like honor, like brotherhood, like family. We were going to make it out of that small Pennsylvania town together. But in my heart, we're still there. Still 10 years old. Still waiting for our dreams to come true. Sitting here now, I can still remember the index of stripper poles in the carpet. At the bar when we went back to town a few years after I served as best man at Chris's wedding to the wrong girl. Just because he wanted to know what it felt like to have a normal family. What it felt like to truly be a man. The truth is, something tells me that the skeletons in our closets will be 10 years old forever. And that they will be anything but masculine.
Thank you guys. I'm gonna read one more poem. And I'm gonna read this. Well, I read this poem a lot. But I'm gonna dedicate it to my friend Brad Dykstra and my friend Stephen Miller, if he's here right now. I love you guys. I've known you for 20 fucking years. And I'm reading this poem because you know what I'm talking about. This is a place called Chicken Noodle. I'm sure you remember it. But my friend Sam Ryan, who used to run that place, was shot and killed by the Philadelphia police trying to burn down his own restaurant. He's one of my best friends. But very few people can be in the room and actually know what I'm talking about. And so I'm glad to love these guys. It's called Sam Ryan is a Noodle Heaven.
A cat asleep in the sun. We worshipped your bloom. Sang heaven's back alley blues. Drank from the mouth of a hurricane. Called Nirvana collect without speaking. Someone said, imagine Sam Ryan in Noodle Heaven. I don't want to. You were shot dead for cursing daylight. Father already gone, sister sick with memory, cancer scatter like roaches in sunlight. Plant chicken with madness. Sam Ryan is in Noodle Heaven. That plucky Irish kid from the neighborhood who used to talk to comics, who said they used to listen. You contemplated love with great sadness, called death a toothache, and God's tan nipple a testament to medical ethics. You who drank to become invisible, but left an outline in the flames. Said you could have fucked that girl right out of your hair, if only we were in the South Pacific. You proposed marriage to anyone who would listen. Wild Welsh girls from New Jersey on street corners in heaven. A lonely prize fighter who sang lullabies in love recessions. Sam Ryan is in Noodle Heaven. Sam Ryan is in Noodle Heaven. Sam Ryan is in Noodle Heaven. You saw the last ice age of Detroit, front row from a Philly sidewalk, who fed your soul with magic, called heaven a black cat, and love the ladder to hell. You said we are all archaeologists, rebuilding cities from the chapped lips of modern myth, that a sunflower turned inward resembles a bone, that bipolar ice caps spell disaster in any font. When your time came, you went out, guns blazing, in a police standoff. Traffic stood still. Trees handed out oxygen, but the dead held their breath for you, as if you were a higher class of animal. Today, I remember how every Thanksgiving you smiled, went out aces over figure eights as it snowed outside your window. Today, a little girl asks her mother, who will make her smile now that you are gone? Now that Irish eyes watch over you and cry out, oh, Sam, eat more, the pipes are calling. And all she can think to say is, Sam Ryan is in Noodle Heaven, Sam Ryan is in Noodle Heaven, Sam Ryan is in Noodle Heaven. From glen to glen, a river of blood flows through the cracks of city sidewalks. Your stoop filled in with shadows of lament. Well, we remember what you lived for, what you died for, and what you dreamed for. Like forgotten flowers, we remember love in your name. Thank you.